May be seated. I told Brother Tasso earlier that I thought his lesson from the book of Exodus today and my sermon should be complimentary. I thought it was, but you know, sometimes what's going on in my head and what comes out of my mouth and how everybody else perceives it could be quite different. I don't know. So enjoyed the lesson and been enjoying all the lessons from the book of Exodus, and also enjoying the studies in the Gardena Bible study from the book of Genesis as well. And Romans 16 is where we're going first this morning. Book of Romans, the 16th chapter, and Paul is winding down actually in this book and kind of giving his farewell. And this is kind of just a statement. It's a statement in that closing out of the book, 16 verse 20. And we can actually read in 19. It says, "For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning what is evil." Some good thoughts right there, huh? Wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And if we kind of don't have context to that statement, it might actually sound a little odd to us. You know, it's like farewell, good, you know, good things to you, and you know, God is going to crush Satan's head under your feet. If it weren't Satan, if it were somebody else, we might go, what? But Satan is our enemy, and Satan is the adversary of God. He's the anti-God, and he's the God of this age, and certainly he's at work in the world today. And we see so many scriptures, and we can just look around in our world. There's so much chaos, there's so much evil, there's so much murder and problems and sickness and all of the things that exist in this world of a negative nature. So many people want to accuse God. You know, if there's a God, why is there war? If there's a God, why do children die of disease? If there's a God, and so on and so on and so on. Well, how about this? There is a Satan. There's a Satan in this world. There's a evil at work in this world, and the result of sin and the result of Satan are why terrible things happen in the world and upon mankind in general. And you know, in any one of our families, friends and families, we are touched by sin, by the effect of sin. And it's not always a one for one. You know, well, I sin so I get sick, or I sin so I get disease, or I sin or I have a drinking problem. Sometimes our problems are the direct result of our own sin. But sometimes the fact that we might get a disease, or that we might have a physical infirmity, or certain things in life come about simply because we are part of the human race. And the human race is fallen. And if we trace that fall back, we know that Satan was involved at the very beginning, wasn't he? We read in Genesis how that he tempts Eve to eat the fruit that God, the one thing that God said, you can't have this fruit. You can eat of all the trees of the garden, but you can't have this one fruit. And Satan challenges that, tempts her with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and even the pride of life, I believe, as John talks about. She sees that it's pleasant to the eyes. She sees and understands that it's good for food and that it would make her wise. In fact, the promise of Satan was that she would be like God, knowing good and evil. God doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to be on par with him, is really, I think, what he was tempting her with. You'll be just like God. You'll know the difference between good and evil. And so she was tempted, and because of that temptation, she then partook and then gave it to her husband. And her husband, you know, he has less of an excuse for his failure, less of an excuse for his sin. Because Eve was tempted by Satan, but Adam simply, there's no record of him being tempted by Satan. His wife came, gave it to him, and he ate it. And really, the error, the sin that is that caused man to fall from grace, fall from his position in the garden, that sin is not attributed to Eve, but it is attributed to Adam, right? Through one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. But we know that that Satan had his role. He had his hand in this. His desire was accomplished, wasn't it? He tempted Eve, and man fell. And thus, bringing destruction into this, into God's creation, destruction into the lives of man, destruction on creation itself. And he is still active in destroying lives in this earth and in this world. He didn't just do his deed and now he's at ease and watching everything fall apart. No, he is active in this world. He's active in destroying lives, and he wants to destroy your life. Wants to destroy your life. And he can't take your salvation away from you if you know the Lord as your Savior, but he can destroy your life. He can destroy your testimony for Jesus Christ. He can destroy your influence. And he's actively doing that in lives today. He's destroying people. He's not only keeping the lost lost, he's blinding their minds, he's affecting their thinking, he's spreading lies. You know, I think as Brother Tasso has been teaching about Egypt and the false gods and all the false gods that they believed in, and then you think of the Greeks and the Romans and all the pagan gods they believed in. They built these huge statues and they built the monuments and they had the grand worship of these false gods. What do you think the people of the day thought about that? Now we look back and we think, what a bunch of nonsense. How could people be so blind? How could they be so silly to believe in Zeus or Diana or all these other pagan gods? How could they? But they did. They did. And that was the wisdom of the day. And today, you think it's any different? Just because we live in this time and so many people have turned to their science, which much of it isn't science at all, it's fabrication. And this is the wisdom of the day, and people are going after this, and they think if you don't believe like that, you're foolish, right? They're just as blind as those pagans of old, those people in Egypt who thought Pharaoh was a god. They're just as blind. But nevertheless, that is the work of Satan in the world. And people do believe in those things. He's blinded their minds. He's deceived the hearts of man. And he's still active in destroying lives today. In fact, the Bible, we'll read in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 3. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. I am thankful that I have accepted Christ as my Savior and been made alive by the power of his Holy Spirit. Aren't you? Aren't you glad you're saved by his grace? I was dead, and I was just like any other person, blind by sin and under the condemnation that will come upon sinners. But I turned to Jesus, and because of that, I put my faith in him. I've been made alive, and I was dead in trespasses and sins. But now I'm alive, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. There may be different times, different time periods, different courses of the world, you might say. World's on a different course, right? At this time than it was at some other time. There may be a different set of beliefs. They once might have believed in the idolatrous gods. Now the world may be becoming more atheistic and denying a god or a supernatural power altogether. It's all about nature. You know, we got to save nature, save the earth. And, you know, can't kill the minnows, you know, because that's going to mess something up. Or we're so powerful, we're going to change the course of the weather now. You know, we got to stop global warming. And man may have something to do with that. But man, you know, gets these ideas and he's so much more powerful than he really is. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And God's will eventually come to pass. That's for sure. But what's going on in the world at the present time? We walked according to the course of this world. And what's the course? Well, Satan is working in this world. He is the prince and the power of the air. The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The course of the world. Satan is the prince and power of this world. He's not the king. God is the king. But God has allowed him, and because of the fall of man, God has allowed him to be working in this world in a very powerful way. And he is. And from the very beginning, he has been. And he's active in destroying lives. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8 that he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's indiscriminate. He has no mercy. You know, I've watched a lot of nature shows in my lifetime. I guess in my older age now, I'm getting to the point where I just don't like to see animals killing other animals. They have some shows that are specifically all about that, you know. I don't really like that anymore. In fact, I find myself just before that wolf catches that little goat, that little lamb, you know, I'll switch it and come back to it after the gory part's over. It's like, oh, man, that little lamb. You know that lions will kill other baby lions? The male lions, you know, the leader of the pack, well, I don't know, pride, I guess it's a pride, right? Uh-oh, Brother Miller, I thought you watched a lot of nature shows, right? He'll kill other baby lions, just little ones. Think how awful. Well, he's doing that, from what I understand, from watching nature shows. He's doing that to protect himself. He thinks he's protecting himself from potential rivals. But how cruel, awful, you know? Satan is indiscriminate in his murderous intent. He doesn't care about your children. He doesn't care if it's children or if it's old folks or middle-aged people, women, men. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care at all about the human race. He's just looking to whom he may devour. And when he finds one that he can devour, he will devour them. And Satan is wreaking havoc in this world. We look at the world. We look at all the problems of the world, all the murder, all the death, all the things that are going on, people blowing themselves up and blowing as many people up with them as they can. You think this doesn't have something to do with Satan? This is not what Jesus taught. It's Satan. It's Satan. It's at work in the world according to the course of this world. It's getting worse and worse. But we have a protection. We have a hedge about us as part of the people of God, but we're not exempt. We shouldn't ever think, well, I'm a church member now. Nothing bad can happen to me. That's not true. Bad things do happen to God's people. We have hope. We have grace. We have strength. We have many things, but we are not necessarily trouble-free. God has ultimate control over His people and over His house, but God does allow things to come into the realm of His people. In fact, if we read in Revelation, the second chapter, verse 13, we read here, I know your works. This is written to the angel of the church at Pergamos. The church at Pergamos. These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Is that where Satan's throne is? Well, this probably has reference to a big idol that sat on a throne. I can't remember if it was Zeus or what idol it was. I should. We had an associational meeting and we talked about all these seven different churches. But unfortunately, this wasn't my church, so I don't remember the details. But I remember him talking about this idolatrous statue that was sitting on a throne, and this probably has references. But where there's idolatry, there's a lot of sin too. Paganism and all the things that go along with paganism. And so it was no doubt figurative of the power and influence of Satan in this city. And he is the prince and power of the air. And you hold fast to my name. Okay? You're in the midst. You know, if you ever think it's hard to serve the Lord, just think of this. There aren't a bunch of pagans. Well, there are a bunch of pagans out there, but there aren't a bunch of pagan worshipers out there, per se, that want to kill Christians. Right? So you think it's hard for us? Wow. No. It's not hard for us compared to these people. Notice what goes on. And did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Oh yeah, Satan gets to wreak havoc in the Lord's churches from time to time. He gets the ability at times to persecute God's people. In fact, God's people have been persecuted, and this was really, we see this from the very beginning. It was a principle really taught in the scriptures from the very beginning. Cain and Abel. Abel followed the instructions of God and brought an offering that was pleasing to God. On the other hand, Cain did not. So what happened? God rejected Cain's offering. He accepted Abel's offering. Cain got jealous and killed Abel. And that's the history of that's the history of God's people and Christianity. Satan will get in when he can, whenever he can. He will not be able to destroy the Lord's church. The gates of hell, Jesus said, will not prevail against his church. And in fact, God has used persecution even to promote his church. The Jerusalem church was persecuted by Saul in Acts 8, 1 through 4. Now Saul was consenting to his death, and at that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Isn't it interesting that God has his hand in this? They're not all scattered and then disappear into oblivion. They're scattered and they go everywhere preaching the word, which results in more churches being established. One of the persecutors during the dark ages of our forefathers, the Anabaptists, said, "Of every one we kill, there's two more to take their place." Their testimony in death was so powerful and convicting, so demonstrated the grace of God and the goodness of God, that people were convicted and converted. So it's not like Satan is winning over God. It's not like Satan is winning over God's people. But God, for his own purpose, allows Satan to persecute his people. But still, we are a protected people in the fold of God. We read in Hebrews of others who were persecuted. Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. There's a blessing for these people. They haven't received it yet, but they're going to receive it. They were conquerors through faith. They were afflicted and they were persecuted and they were killed in terrible ways. They were mocked and scourged and imprisoned and all the things that it mentions. And yet they were victorious through faith, and God will reward them. You know, that's a victory. It's Satan at work, unleashing the fury of hell and the wrath of man upon God's people. But God's people, through faith, will persevere and overcome. It's a sad story to know that people have suffered this way in serving God, and God may call upon us to suffer in our own way in our dedication and service to Him. But you know what's even more saddening, heartbreaking, is when our brethren face persecution and fall away. Deny the faith. Backslide into the world. That's more heart-wrenching. This is a victory that we're reading about here in Hebrews. These were victorious through faith. And you, I want you and I want me to be victorious through faith. We can be victorious no matter what Satan unleashes on us, even if we have to be like Antipas, a faithful martyr for Christ. Let's stand by faith. But think of all those that have fallen by the wayside. Think of all those that we've known who were servants of the Lord, and sin came into their lives. Satan came into their lives and they've fallen by the wayside. Is it wrong? Is it wrong for us to desire to inflict harm on Satan? The text verse said that you will crush Satan, and I think that's inclusive of all of the saints who will rule and reign with Christ. They will crush Satan's head under their feet. I'll tell you, if there was ever a time when it was okay with God for us to want revenge on somebody, it's on Satan. We're not to want revenge on another human being. We're not to want to harm another human being, but it's all right for us to want to hate Satan and want to see him crushed. We know the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So is it okay? I think it's okay, because we're going to read some other verses of Scripture that's really going to tell us it's okay. And the text verse tells us it's okay. It's something that we should desire, that we should look forward to, and Looking back, we think of the devastation of Satan, Satan's work, starting in the garden, and all of mankind has fallen from God's grace, fallen into sin, now condemned ultimately to a devil's hell because of sin, the work of Satan. Is it okay for us to hate that individual, to hate Satan for what he's done? Think of all those who've been sick and suffered such with disease and sickness and died a lingering death. All of those people that we've loved, people that we've known, even maybe ourselves, suffering with disease, suffering with physical infirmity, children in hospitals suffering with terrible diseases throughout the world. We live in a country where we have medical doctors and medicine to help people. What about underdeveloped countries, third world countries, where children suffer with horrible diseases and tumors? And I guess we shouldn't go too far. Brother Tasso might pass out. But think of all the things that are in the world that people are suffering with that are the direct result of sin that ties right in to Satan tempting Eve. Envy, jealousy, covetousness, sins of the heart, lust, lies, adultery, all the things that go on inside of us and then become sin on the outside as well. Greed, theft, substance abuse, murder. All the terrible things going on in the world, the result of sin, the result of Satan. It's okay for us to hate him. And all the millions and no doubt billions of people who have died who are headed straight to hell. All the work of Satan. Think of our loved ones, our friends, our families who've been affected by the negative results of sin. Marriages broken up, adultery, children suffering, child abuse, all the things. Think of every person that you know, family and not family, that have passed from this life not knowing Jesus as their Savior. How sad. Is it wrong for us to hate Satan? No, it's not wrong. We should be doing everything that we can do to counteract the work of Satan. How do we do that? Through the message and power of Jesus. That's how we counteract what's going on in the world. The Bible tells us in 1 John the 4th chapter, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I love that, don't you? He's greater. Our God is greater. Satan is the prince and power of the world, but God is greater. God is the creator. He's the king. King of kings and Lord of lords. So we have a power that's greater, more powerful than the power of Satan. A power to heal, a power to save, a power to work in men's lives. Break the bonds of Satan. Break the influence of Satan. Every time someone comes to Jesus Christ and accepts Jesus as their Savior, we have won a victory over Satan. We have stomped on his foot, you might say. We've punched him in the nose. We've punched him in the stomach, whatever. We have gotten a victory over Satan. We should be actively preaching the message of Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews, the second chapter in verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Why did Jesus share in the same flesh and blood? Why did he become human like us? That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Your only hope of breaking the bonds of imprisonment and of the bondage that you're in and the condemnation that awaits you, your only hope is through Jesus Christ. That's why he came here, became flesh and died on the cross of Calvary, was so that he might destroy him who has the power of death. You are a captive of Satan. Just like the Israelites were captive to Pharaoh and to Egypt, mankind, we are captives to Satan in his domain. But Jesus came that we might be free. And he's greater than Satan. His power is greater. He can save you by his grace if you'll trust in him as your Savior. He can deliver you from the bonds of sin. You know what? Sometimes what happens is God's people, they go back to Egypt. They become enslaved again to Egypt. You know, even the Israelites, they got mad at Moses and they got doubtful of God's ability to sustain them in the wilderness. And they, let's go back to Egypt. And they wanted to go back. They were getting ready to have a revolt and go back. But you know what? God was able to sustain them. That's what happens sometimes. People of God want to go back to Egypt. They want the things of Egypt. They desire the things of Egypt and they go back. So you might have gone back to Egypt, to that bondage. Sin is bondage, folks. You might be a saved person, delivered by the grace of God, a child of God, but you could be in the bondage of sin. Jesus died to set us free. Free from the condemnation and even free in our lives. He can pull you out of sin. He can restore you. He can put your feet on a solid foundation. He has destroyed Satan, who has the power of death. And he did it through his death on the cross. That's how he did it. The scripture in the book of Genesis prophesied that woman's seed would be bruised, but he would bruise Satan's head. Before we get to that, I do want to read this verse of scripture in Isaiah 53, starting with verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus died for our sins. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. We'll stop there. We could read further, but we'll stop there. He was bruised for our iniquities. Jesus died in our place. He died for our sins. He bore our sins in his own body on the cross. He purchased our salvation. If you'll cry out to him in faith, you can be saved by his grace. This is a prophecy of the death of Jesus Christ. We know it's recorded for us in the New Testament scriptures, but this is Old Testament scripture, and this was a prophecy of what Jesus would do. And it was also prophesied, as I mentioned, in Genesis, the third chapter, in verse 15. The bruising of Christ, the bruising of his heel. But it said he will crush Satan's head. Strong's definition for the word crush or bruise, to crush completely, to shatter. You know, ever seen a car window shatter? A tempered glass, all those tiny little squares. And then you barely touch it and it all falls down. And could you ever put that back together? No. There'll be no putting Satan back together once Christ crushes his head. His fate has been sealed. His fate just awaits him. It's yet to happen, but it will happen. In Revelation, the sixth chapter, I mentioned that it was okay to hate Satan and want to see his demise. In Revelation, the sixth chapter, verses 9 and 10, it says, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?'" They're crying out for vengeance. These souls that were slain for the testimony of God. Slain for their testimony. How long until you avenge? It's okay for us to hate Satan and to look forward to his judgment. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it is a promise from God that the saints with Christ, because we know that promise was made to Christ, that he would crush Satan's head, but it will be our honor to crush his head under our feet with Christ. In Psalm 149, start reading in verse 5. "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints." Praise the Lord. Wow. Wow. We might not think of that in terms of the return of Christ. We think of the glory, the redemption, it being like a rescue. But the Lord's coming back in force and in power. He's coming back to crush Satan and his rule. And you better be sure that you're on his side. Are you on the side of Christ, or are you in the camp of Satan? Are you a child of wrath? You know, the Bible talks about children of wrath. Ephesians, the second chapter, we read there already. We were all dead in trespasses and sins, and we were by nature the children of wrath. Wrath is what is in store for every human being that doesn't trust in Christ as their Savior. Are you a child of wrath? Are you in Satan's camp, part of his? Even if you're just a slave, you're still in his camp. Are you a child of God? And you know, I think about Peter when he denied Christ, warming himself at the fire with those who were putting Christ to death. He didn't belong there, but yet there he was, denying Christ. Many have denied Christ with their lives and with their actions. Maybe you're not a lost person, but maybe you're in the camp of Satan, warming yourself at the fire. You know, the Lord isn't going to be pleased with his people who have forsaken his service to live in the world, to live in Satan's domain. We need to be prepared for the coming of Christ. He's coming to judge. The time of salvation is now. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to trust in Jesus as your Savior and be saved by God's grace. If you're a child of God and you're not committing your way to the Lord as you should, you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. And we all need to realize the power and influence of Satan in this world and be actively fighting to thwart what he's doing with the power and message of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and have a verse of song.